Blog Talk Radio.
Uploaded the lost John Lennon tapes on mindfucks.com. So there's some other interesting stuff about a company called Tom Wonderful, who filed a lawsuit against Zions for all sorts of copyright issues over the Blue Palm Zenergy drink. So it's kind of heating up. There's some interesting stuff out there on the grapevine. And, you know, the lawsuit's traditional on it. Just got to appeal it set up. So a few more days to write the brief, the big dog document. And we got Rick Slayton on tonight, who should be talking about boxing and MMA. I think he's done both. So you got to feed him some boxing questions, Tony. You got to be on your toes. Channel that.
Okay. I always am on my toes.
Hit him with some jabs, some verbal jabs. We got quite a bit to talk about with the fight night. Amir Sadala has a really intense fight. That was pretty interesting to watch. He wasn't doing all that well in the early stages. But, he doesn't have that many fights on his record either, officially. He won by a round 2 submission against Demarcus Johnson. And Anthony Roman Johnson had a unanimous decision over Hardy. Pretty much just held him down when he got him down. And then Phil Davis versus Nogueira was a very technical match. Davis kind of won on points, but he admitted after the fight he wasn't in his best shape and his best form. But I don't know, everybody talking about him fighting John Thorns-Jones doesn't look too good. I mean, he's got to get the dynamics up a little bit more if he's going to face John Thorns-Jones. But they're interesting fighters, you know. They bring their own style to the game. Phil Davis seems like more of a wrestler. He kept trying to go for the double leg, and Nogueira wouldn't give it to him. And then he kept getting the single leg towards the end of the fight, so the takedowns pretty much sealed it for him. But these young and talented athletic guys keep coming through the system and schooling these old boys. Okay, Antonio Rosario Nogueira. We also had a rematch between Chan Sung Jung from a fight with Leonard Garcia. This time, Sung Jung won by round 2 submission in a move they call the Twister. It's kind of like what they call a neck crank with one leg in and twisting the spine backwards. So it's like a mongrel or a rear naked choke type of deal. Looks very painful. And there was 1 second left in the round in the 4:59 mark, they called it. Garcia time count. John Madsen lost to Mike Russo by round 2 TKO doctor stoppage. Bruce Leroy went down by round 1 submission to McKen Samerzier. The battle of the Bruce Leroy's, actually. Samerzier, I guess, had used that nickname one time. But I think it was a rear naked choke in that fight. John Hathaway beat former Ultimate Fighter star there, Chris McCrae, by round 3 split decision. Michael McDonald beat Edwin Figueroa by unanimous decision. And also a guy from New England, Christian Moorcraft, beat Sean McCorkle by round 2 submission, a standing guillotine. Got to see a sneak peek of that fight. That was pretty interesting. Also, Johnny Hendricks beat Anthony Wahlberger by first round knockout. And Mario Miranda lost to Aaron Simpson by unanimous decision. And finally, Wieland Lowe lost to Nick Lentz by round 3 submission. And, we don't have any fights tomorrow. Can you believe that? Nothing in MMA or boxing.
What do you mean we don't have any fights tomorrow?
Nothing. There's no fights on April Fool's Day.
There is a fight on April Fool's Day. It was a big fight on April Fool's Day.
Oh, really? I wasn't aware.
Yeah, on the ESPN 2.
Oh, Hank.
A good friend of mine's fighting. He said there's no fights on.
April Fool's.
Yeah. What's up with that? Yeah, we got Hammer and Hank Lundy. You know, he had his first loss last summer. You know, he's rebounded. And Hank has posted some Facebook status updates. Saying he hates Nick. Yeah, Hammer and Hank's a friend of mine. I just added him a couple weeks ago.
Oh, no, man. I know Hank. He's from Philly, right? Don't forget to mention
Yeah. He was on our show a couple of years ago.
Yes, I saw him in person.
Yeah, he said how he was the one. I'm from Philly, man. He, you know, beat the trainer's ass, too.
After a very contentious fight, he won by decision. It was sort of in his hometown area. It was in New England. And the other guy was out of town. And, you know, he fought a good fight, but Hank definitely set the pace, you know, for most of the rounds. So I would have given it to him in a heartbeat. And it was a contentious decision, and the trainer is a little bit older, you know. It looked like he had a kid when he was young, but I think it was the kid's father. And he comes running over after the fight, and he gets right in Hank's face. He says, "You didn't win that fight." And Hank goes, "I'll fight you right now. I'm from Philly." It was one of the best dramatic live moments I've ever seen in boxing. And he was like, literally, he was serious. He would have fought him right there. He had his gloves off. He had the padding still on his hands off. I would have bet on Hank right there.
the thing about Hank, obviously, I've known him for about a good 5 years now, and I've never had a chance to train with him, but I know his former trainer very well. And last year when Hank had that loss, the mistake he made was he was dominating the fight. He was utterly dominating up until about the 8th round of the 12-round fight. And then he tried to do a real slick, like Floyd Mayweather's type move, and the guy caught him and knocked him down. And then you could tell Hank was still hurt, but he was still, you know, getting back in control. And then that's when he did something else stupid. He, you know, tried to hold on to the second rope to throw a left hook. And I remember Vinny Paz used to do that a lot. Vinny Paz and Larry Holmes, as they were getting older and, you know, up in their careers, they would, like, Vinny would hold the rope, he would go to throw a left hook, and then Rod Holmes, the referee, would, you know, give him a warning, and that would always give him a few seconds, you know, a respite. Larry Holmes would do the same thing. He would hold onto the rope, and, you know, once again, the referee would, you know, call time in the action and admonish Holmes for it, and it was a good way of resting your legs. So I don't know if Hammer and Hank was trying to imitate one of those guys when he did it, but Larry and Paz used to grab the top rope, so your hand was still somewhat a little bit close to your face. Hammer and Hank grabbed the second rope and left his right hand completely down. He got caught with like four left hooks in a row, and then that's what spelled his defeat.
All those times he held the rope, the top rope.
What?
Who was the guy that held the top rope in all those Jake LaMar fights? So the last one.
In which fight? In which fight?
Sugar Ray Robinson, is that who it was? He held the top rope in that last fight with just blew my mind.
Yeah, because I'm drawing a blank on that right now.
Jake LaMotta and Sugar Ray Robinson, didn't they fight all those times?
They fought 6 times, yeah.
There's one fight where Sugar Ray Robinson was holding the top rope, just letting him hit him, right? That was in the movie.
Oh, no, that was Jake LaMotta that was holding onto the ropes, and Robinson was tattooing him. But I think that got, you know, played up a little bit for the movie.
Oh, really? True?
Yeah, I think so. Don't quote me on that.
Scandalous.
I've watched the legitimate fight, the real fight, and Jake was on the ropes. He was stunned. He wasn't, like, laying there, like, cocky against the ropes and taking a beating. He was hurt pretty good, and he was good. Then after it was over, yeah, he was leaning on the ropes, but he wasn't, like, holding them, like, yeah, I just got my ass kicked, but I'm defiant. You know, he was definitely stunned. He was on the ropes. He was hurt pretty good. Then, you know, he got off. That's when, you know, legitimately did say, "You never put me down, Ray. You never put me down." But it wasn't like he was holding the ropes, you know, to get a respite in time or to use it for leverage. He was just back up against the ropes and taking a pounding.
Yeah, that's not good.
Nah, not at all. Speaking of movies, I got to see The Fighter last night.
You did, finally. You're like,
yeah, finally got to see it. And I'm going to say, it was, and I know my buddy Larry Tornambi, the ring announcer, he hated it. He thought they were taking the same drugs that Dickie Eklund was. It was funny because I found out more about Dickie Eklund in the movie than I did about Mickey Ward. I knew most about Mickey Ward's career. And I remember Ward's fights with Sanchez and Shane Neary when they happened. And I knew he had taken the time off. He had lost a few fights in a row, took some time off. And then I remember him coming back. And I remember the Sanchez fight because the one thing I remember about it was them saying how Ward was fighting so bad. It was like he just wasn't even trying. He was just like holding his hands up and just taking punches. It wasn't like he was even throwing anything back. And the referee was yelling at him for like not fighting. He's like, come on, do something. You know, and actually he threatened to disqualify him for lack of effort. And then he knocked him out in the 10th round. One thing, if you go back and watch the movie very closely, and I think it was especially the Shane Neary fight, the climactic fight at the end, listen to the announcing. It was the HBO broadcast team. But the one thing you'll notice, and I think they were using maybe clips of some of Mickey Ward's real fights and the broadcast, you know, announcers, you know, calling it. But if you notice in the main event, it switches from Jim Lampley, Larry Merchant, and George Foreman to Jim Lampley, Larry Merchant, and Roy Jones Jr., and then back to George Foreman.
Yeah.
There was different announce groups in that. I was listening to it, and I'm like, oh, that's George Foreman. I'm still thinking, oh, maybe they're using the audio of this fight. And then I'm like, wait a minute, that's Roy Jones Jr. maybe I was wrong. Maybe it was Roy Jones from the start. Then it goes back, I'm like, nope, that's definitely George Foreman. And here's a funny coincidence about the movie. You'll get a kick out of this, Rich. I am a very ritualistic person. If you would have remembered me during my fighting days at Lock Haven University, and even when I was training in Philadelphia, I used to drive Dr. Cox nuts. I used to drive Coop nuts. I used to drive Jimmy Arthur nuts because I'm very ritualistic when I work out. And the way I do my workouts now, because I get very limited time when I get home from my horrible fucking job. But what I'll do is I'll wrap up my wraps from the night before. I use those gauze wraps, as you'll see in my one YouTube video. And when I wrap, and here's my different taste in music. When I'm wrapping up my gauze wraps to use later, I listen to, don't laugh, Billy Ocean, When the Going Gets Tough.
Really?
And I start to get pumped up a little bit. Then I skip rope. And when I skip rope, the song I like to listen to is the song Apache by the Sugar Hill Gang. It was a Canto Jump on it. And I jump rope to that song, and I like it. And then I'm like, all right, now it's time for me to start warming up. And I put my MP3 player on, and the first song I listen to when I start to really loosen up is Thunderstruck by AC/DC, which everybody knows was the song that Arturo Gatti used to always walk out to the ring to. The very next song on my MP3 player is the song I Take My Hands To. That is the song... Here I Go Again by Whitesnake, which in the movie was the song Mickey Ward walked out to, and I never knew that up until last night. So, in my MP3 player, back to back, every night when I work out, I listen to the song that was Gotti's theme song, and at least in the movie, the song that was Ward's theme song.
Yes. Well,
I was in a bad mood a little bit ago. Now I'm actually smiling and showing my multitasking skills. I'm job hunting while we're on the air.
No, you're not. No, you can't get another job. Why would you do that? It's too much work for you.
Well, getting another job?
No, I'm just kidding.
Because the one of that sucks.
is available, I bet. Anyway, I actually got to do my job for once and go to a fight, Friday Night Fights, last Friday, at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, in the Chelsea Hotel. In the Chelsea Ballroom, I guess you call it. They had a lot of VIP setups. Basketball star was there. Don't ask me to quote names. But the main event was a very controversial outcome. Arislandi Lara remains unbeaten, but not unblemished. He had one guy, it seemed to have the card right. Judge Richard Houck had it 93-97 for Carlos Molina, which is what I would have leaned towards. But, some rough judging from the rest of the guys. They had it 95-95, Robert Hoyle and Judge C.J. Ross. So it was a majority tie. And I thought Molina really punished Lara early, and he didn't get enough shots in to really win the first six rounds outright. And in the last four rounds, it was a 10-round fight. Molina faded a little bit, but he didn't lose too many rounds, you know, maybe one or two. So I like the 93-97 vote, and I don't understand where the 95-95 comes from, because Molina won that fight.
Yeah, that's what I heard. I got to see the first fight on the card, and then during the second fight, the four-rounder, I was starting to doze off a little bit. And then it was like, hey, he went to a commercial, and I was like, I thought I did one of these. I was pretty tired. I was like, all right, let me just close my eyes during the commercial. Then I'll come back for the main event. And it didn't work out that way too well. I woke up, it was like 2 in the morning. I was like, huh, what the hell is going on here? I'm like, well, at least it's Friday and I'll have to wake up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, it was kind of a rough card all around. And the televised fights, I think the second co-main event fight, Udell Johnson and Gutierrez. There's controversy at the end of that one, too, because, it was barely when the guy was hurt that the ref jumped in and stopped him, and he was still standing. Standing at count. See if he's recovering. You know, he wasn't even really wobbly-legged. He was just wobbly-chin for, like, 1 second. They backed up into the ropes, and the ref jumped in after, like, two punches. Waved it off. Right at me. I see him leaning right up against the ropes right in front of me. I was like, what? Then we had another fight stopped due to low blows. We had a foul pole Gawada in the house. I won't mention names. You know who he is. But all around, it was a pretty good card. I found it very press friendly. They didn't have an all-star buffet for us, but they had free sodas.
Oh! That sucks.
And I felt like a VIP was good. When I got there, I kind of got there a little bit early. I was like one of the first three reporters at the row where they had tables set up for us. And the staff there was like, oh, you guys need power. He takes my laps off. Yeah, they just started asking me all the questions. How many power cords do we need? Where should we put them? I was like, all right. I look like I'm in charge. So it was fun. It was good close-up seating. I don't know if I was in too many camera angles, but, I was out there in the crowd. And,
did you get to write a fight report?
Yes, I did it live. On the go.
You did a lot. But yet you're still not a member of the Boxing Writers of America? That's terrible.
Don't antagonize those folks. They'll come after me late at night. I'm not looking. I have a network. So I'm trying to get to the April 9th fight with all the people surrounding the big fight that I want to see, Robert Guerrero versus Michael.
Yeah, that should be a really good fight. That's going to be an all-action fight.
I haven't filed a little late. We'll see what they do. But I definitely filed early enough, I think, for the Manny Pacquiao-Mosley fight, because I think I'm sticking out here for a while.
Woo!
And it's May 7th, the day after my big hearing in the Zion's case. So definitely is that date for a reason. I'll be here. Definitely cover that.
let me tangent real quick. You know how fucking hard Career Builder is?
Career Builder? LinkedIn.
LinkedIn? I'll use anything, you know? But it's
Craigslist has good jobs because they have them all categorized.
Yeah, I'm trying to do anything they can, you know?
Just have the money
out there somewhere. Well, it sucks because I just try to get somebody to job at my company. Oh. Alright, DC. Alright, they're not going to hire me anyway, so you can get fucked yourself.
Whoa. Rough language. Good thing we're...
Yeah, I'm in an ordinary mood tonight.
Alright, well, Friday, April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke. Kind of get off topic, but Henry Lundy, 19-1 with one draw, 10 knockouts at lightweight, fighting a 10-rounder against Patrick Lopez, who's 20-3 with 12 knockouts for the vacant NABF lightweight title. Also on the card is a 10-round super middleweight fight with Ladine Bossy, 10-0, 5 knockouts, fighting Tim Connors, who's 10-2 with 7 knockouts. Also has a very interesting 6-round middleweight fight, Elvin Ayala, 21-5, who's 9 knockouts, 1 draw, fighting Samson Onyango, who's 20-7, 13 knockouts. And a undercard of 4 rounders, pretty healthy card. We also have Telefutura has a pretty good card in California, Indio, California, not April Fool's joke, April 1st, Eric Morrell, 43-2. 21 knockouts, fighting Luis Maldonado, 35-5, with 26 knockouts, 1 draw. At super bantamweight, not even for a title, believe it or not. Nothing. So, Don George is fighting Max L. Taylor for the vacant USPA super middleweight title on Friday in Illinois. Super middleweight. George, 21-1 with 18 knockouts, 1 draw. Max L is 15-2, 6 knockouts, 1 draw. Also, we have Sergey Kovalev, who's 13-0 with 11 knockouts at light heavyweight, fighting an 8-rounder with Julius Vogel, 15-6 with 10 knockouts. The Goots. And, a female fight for Herning, Denmark on Saturday. Cecilia Breakhoof, 16-0 with 4 knockouts at welterweight, is fighting Jill Emery, who's 10-4 with 4 knockouts. So the WBO female welterweight title, the WBA female welterweight title, and the WBC female welterweight title. All the female titles worth titling. Okay. We have Giovanni Lorenzo, 29-3 with 21 knockouts, fighting for the interim WBA World Middleweight title on Saturday, April 2nd in France. He's fighting Hassan Ndam Ndjam. Probably butchered that pretty badly. It's a 12-round middleweight fight from France.
Well, hopefully he doesn't butcher you.
America, I mean. Ooh, Marco Huck is fighting in Westfalen, Germany.
Yeah, his original opponent pulled it out with an injury. He's fighting Rand McCash, who I've got to see fight live a couple times. Rand McCash is going to have a significant height and reach disadvantage against Marco Huck. Marco Huck's, I think his only career loss was a 12th round stoppage loss at the hands of Steve Cunningham about 2 or 3 years ago. But Rand McCash is an Israeli fighter. He was fighting out of Philadelphia for a while, and he was making his home at the Blue Horizon. I got to see him fight about 4 times. He's actually got a build similar to me. Shorter fighter, very broad, broad shoulders, thick chest. Definitely a power puncher. Makes his living with the hooking, arching type punches, your overhand rights, your left hooks, your uppercuts. And he's a very physical guy. I've seen a couple of his, fights, and he's had a few stoppage wins. They were pretty impressive. But the most impressive thing about him was he was an Israeli commando who would train other commandos in hand-to-hand combat in the Israeli armed forces. That's pretty damn impressive.
No, we also have a pretty interesting heavyweight fight. It's all 12-rounders to the three main events. Robert Hellenius is 14-0 with 9 knockouts, fighting Samuel Peter, who's 34-4 with 27 knockouts. And this is for the WBO Intercontinental Heavyweight title and the WBA Intercontinental Heavyweight title.
Peter's got a lot to lose. He loses this fight. He's all but done. He really is. He loses this fight, he is now considered a stepping stone.
Don't say that too loud. Samuel Peter's people are listening.
You might be listening, and I'm just telling the honest truth. I don't pull punches.
No.
I'm the tornado.
Yes, the tornado. Not mess with a tornado will ruin you, your house, your whole neighborhood. All right. Wrong number. Whoa. I called the wrong Rick on my list. What's going on, Rich? Rick, I get it confused, you know.
Well, it's not one job, I just enjoy too.
We got Rick Clayton coming up.
Please enjoy the music while your party is reached.
All right.
Enjoy. Rick.
Hello?
Rick.
Yes.
Hey, it's Rabble Rouse and Rich Bergeron. How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
Good, good. That's Tony the Tornado on the line, too.
Hey, what's up? Man. What's up, brother? How are you?
Not too bad. Do you have a nickname?
Not too bad.
Sorry. You got a nickname that you fight under, Rick?
My? Notorious?
Notorious.
Notorious.
I read your description of your story. We have some things in common. We've had Ken Shamrock on the show a couple times.
I just trained with his son, Ryan.
Oh, he's got a son, Ryan, too?
Ryan Shamrock, his son, was just here at the gym. He just left.
Okay.
At our gym right now is Chris Cope, who's on the Ultimate Fighter. On this one, Miles Drury, AJ Noon. Both the cyborgs. Who else is here right now? Man, it's like endless here right now. Joe Duarte is here. Pat Spade. Jeff Clark.
No bumps allowed.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, these guys are all crazy.
So, tell us a little bit about your background, how you get into fighting, how you started out on that end of life, and how you straightened yourself out.
I was just a punk getting in trouble all the time, street fighting, and then I met Aaron Brink. I don't know if you remember him from back in the day. And he was part of Team Punishment, and they needed a guy to fight as an amateur years ago, and so they called me up. I went and did it, and it was fun, and they just kept calling me back to fight. And I was with Team Punishment for about a year, and then I met Wade Shipp and Vernon White, and they brought me to the Lion's Den and kept going from there. And Ken used to give me speeches, like, nonstop about staying out of trouble, you know? And then I made another mistake and went to prison and changed my life in there, you know? Gave myself to God, and I'm just a whole different person now. what is it like, just being in the training environment with a guy like Ken Shamrock, who's a certified legend in the sport?
I don't train with him anymore, but, I mean, it was good times. You know, a lot of people didn't like him, but, I mean, I love him. I think he's a great guy. He's got a good heart. You know, he just wanted to help. So I think now I'm over here at the arena gym, and I mean, I train with some of the best guys around, and they're all great, especially like the Cyborgs. They're amazing teachers. Jeff Clark is one of the best coaches I've ever had. Pat Spade, you know, they're amazing coaches. And, like, my game's just evolved so much because of them. I mean, it's crazy. And I've been working with boxer named Rich Powers, and he's like 14-0 or something like that, and he's amazing.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about your boxing background, too. We're pretty interested in that. You know, that hasn't been much of a boxer in MMA in a long time. I think Frankie Edgar is probably the best boxer I've seen out there recently.
You know, I'm a horrible boxer. I'm just a good brawler. I hit real hard, and I just stand in front of people. But I'm, you know, working with these guys, you know, like Rich and Rob Garcia, I'm learning how to move a little more and, you know, use what I have to my strength, make it my strength instead of a weakness. You know.
Tell us a little bit about this event, Cage versus Collins. How did that get started? And you're in the main event, right?
Yeah. Cage versus Collins is May 21st. I was called up by a guy named Joe Hanlon, and he's like, hey, you'd be perfect for this event. You should come talk to the promoters and meet with them. So I went to the casting call and met, like, Debo and everyone, and it was really good. They really liked me and brought me aboard, and now I'm the main event. I'm fighting a police officer named Ishmael Gonzalez. He's a pretty tough fighter. I mean, good guy, I guess. I mean, I don't know him too well, but I can't talk too bad about him.
Is he going to arrest you if he loses?
He might want to arrest me. But, I mean, it's like a dream for someone like me, you know, who's been a criminal all their life and in trouble. You know, I get to beat up a cop in front of hundreds of thousands, like on pay-per-view, you know, in the movie theaters. I mean, cause it's a movie documentary, you know, and all these people get paid for it and not get in trouble. I mean, who could ask for more, you know?
Channeling your talents pretty well there.
Yeah. And he's a good fighter, so it'll be fun, you know. It's a good company. They're really doing a lot of promotion. They have a ton of good bands playing. So, I mean, I'm pretty excited to fight for a with them.
Con versus cop matchups on that card, or is it just called that because you're the main event?
No, me and my opponent are the only cop versus con. The rest of the fighters are all, there's a bunch of convicts, but there's a lot of fighters that are like military, ex-military teachers, and, you know, stuff like that. Just good people. Even like the convicts, though, they're on the card because they've changed their life around, you know. This event is to show that people like us can change our lives. We're not criminals, you know, that people can change and do good. And we try to give back to society. I mean, me and KJ Nunes have a kids program called Christ Kids Foundation, working to get kids off the streets, you know. I mean, we do a lot of good things trying to give back to kids. I speak at middle schools and high schools about once every couple of weeks. I go and speak to these schools.
So it's like, yeah. MMA, AA on steroids.
I guess you could say that.
It's
just a good opportunity. It's good fun. It's going to be a good event. I mean, I think they've sold already. I heard like 13 or 14,000 tickets.
Oh.
And yeah, I mean, it's big.
Better have some extra security on hand. There could be a riot.
Well, I mean, all the police, any police officer that shows up in their uniform gets in for free.
Oh, man.
You know, so they're good. So, I mean, that's free security right there. So it'll be pretty safe. I mean, I'm having my whole family is pretty much going to be there. I wouldn't invite my family if I didn't feel it was safe.
Right, yeah. Well, I also have kind of an interesting thing going on between the New York Fire Department boxing team and the law enforcement folks.
Uh-huh.
April 30th, it's the Battle of the Badges.info, so it's kind of on a different note. But
Someone sent me a link on that on Facebook.
Yeah, we're doing a little bit of marketing there, but mainly everything is on the website. So more of that, the sport given back to the community, and it sounds like you get the right idea there. Now, you don't have any tattoos, do you?
Man, tattoos?
Yeah.
I better ask if I have any blank spots.
Okay.
I've literally covered from my head to my toe.
I saw you and I said, wait a second, this looks like Bam Bam Bigelow.
Hey, but I'm in better shape.
Yeah.
I mean,
right, rely on getting heavy cartwheels to finish people.
Yeah, that's good because I can't do one of those. Yeah, I don't know how those wrestlers do that.
First of all, Ken
Shamrock used to want us to do all this wrestling stuff, jumping off the ropes, and man, that stuff used to hurt. Man, I can't do that. I'm all just punch me in the face, and it's a little easier.
The low resistance method.
What's that?
It's like the Homer Simpson method, right? Just keep hitting me in the face, I'll get you back.
Yeah, exactly. I would just rather get hit in the face than someone jumping on me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just easier.
Yeah, wrestling is turning out to be such a big part of MMA, but also I notice a trend at the top levels, like especially in the UFC, where the action is geared more towards the feet. The fans always yell to the ref to stand up. The fighters themselves put on a show, so they're trying to do more striking than anything. There's, I think, far less submissions. There's more decisions, more knockouts, and these kind
I think the fans like the knockout. They like the people. They like fighters to stand there and throw punches, you know? I mean, that's what I think they like, so that's what I like to give them. I mean, I rarely, honestly, train the ground. I don't like it, and I train it because I have to here and there, but I don't like it. I just like to stand. My opponent, he likes to stand, so it's going to be good. We're both going to stand there, and we're going to bang it out, and the best guy on that day is going to win.
Right.
Hopefully it'll be me.
It's kind of an interesting movement in the sport. I think it's kind of like going back to the bare knuckle days, but it's kicking and elbows and punches. And the groundwork comes in at some point in the longer fights, But, the big weight is on the takedowns. If a guy scores one extra takedown, sometimes he gets the round. And even though another guy might hurt him more in the exchanges. So it seems like, striking and wrestling are the top two. Disciplines, of course, jiu-jitsu behind that. Those are the big things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, these guys coming up just keep amazing me because, like you said, you were undefeated and you went up against Shane Carwin, right?
Yeah, I fought Shane Carwin a few years ago. He just manhandled me.
He's a tough fighter.
I gave up like 70 pounds.
Right.
No, he's a nice guy. I mean, he was my first loss, and it is what it is. I can't complain. I'm happy to have been able to get on that list to fight him and, say that he was my first loss, I guess.
Yeah, tell us about your favorite fight. What was the best fight you ever had? Toughest opponent?
Toughest opponent. I don't really know who my toughest opponent was.
Do you have a favorite fight that stands out? Is it a fight in your memory?
I fought a guy named Jason Lawrence what was that fight? West Coast Noble's Bar back in the day in the gym. And that was a tough fight for, I mean, it only lasted a minute and a half, but that minute and a half we were swinging, you know. So, I mean, so I guess that was about the toughest fight, and just, that's one.
You know. Punch.
Yeah, I really don't like fighting. I don't like fighting Russians. You know, they're tough. I haven't had too many tough fights, honestly. Most of my fights have been pretty easy. You know, I've never been past 3 minutes. Yeah, I like to get in and out. Like my opponent for this fight, he swears he's going to beat me up for 3 rounds and then submit me at the very end. Well, I mean, I don't even know how that's possible since I've never even been out of the first round. This fight's not going to get out of the first round.
Let's try it, pal. Hey. Is it 5-minute rounds?
Yeah, 5-minute rounds. I've never been past 3 minutes, so I'm not planning on going past 5 minutes. You know, it's going to be one round, and him and I are going to be done. One way or the other, someone's going to sleep.
There's going to be 2 hits. He hit him and hit the floor, right?
What was that?
There's only going to be 2 hits. You hitting him and him hitting the floor, right?
That's what I'm saying. it's definitely going to be interesting. It's going to be a fun fight. It's going to be a fun show. I'm pretty excited.
Well, how did you come up with the concept? Is this something brand new, or have you done it before?
I've never done anything like this. So it's the promotion. The promoter's name is Michael Lynch, and they came up with it, and I think God just put that into their hearts and made it happen. I know, like, Eric Tran is the producer. He's the producer of, like, The Simpsons and stuff, and I don't know, all these people came together and made the concept happen. So
you think you're going to get branded and keep it up for a while?
Yeah, I mean, they're not trying to compete with the UFC. They're just trying to do their own thing, you know?
Yep.
A different kind of concept.
Con FC. Con Cop FC.
Yeah.
It's an interesting market now with the UFC buying Strikeforce. And, our family's pretty connected to Strikeforce. Do you hear a lot about the organization from them?
Yeah, well, they're killing, UFC's killing the market, you know, for fighters to get sponsors and everything else. I mean, sponsors got to pay UFC to be sponsors for the fighters. You know, now that they bought Strikeforce, I mean, who knows what's going to happen, you know? I mean,
yeah, I see alerts are all over that. I don't know when it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it's waiting to see, you know? It's nice when you have other companies on the market, you know, to help the fighters, because there's more money out there then. If one company owns everything, then there's no money.
Right.
You know, it makes it tough for fighters.
There are some interesting dynamics for making the best fights possible, but, you know, what we see in another situation like Prime, where everybody sort of locks themselves out and walks away, and there's like 6 guys from Strikeforce end up in the USC. I mean, that was ugly back then. There was a lot of heated animosity, a lot of Japanese market got destroyed in that whole deal. They were guilty on each side, but this one was like homegrown, you know, it's in the same country based here, and they were losing their investor to their old market, which was hockey, I guess. And, you know, it was a tough deal to make, but they made out like bandits, you know, the UFC.
Yeah.
$40 million, I think, is what I heard they paid for it.
Yeah, they're making out like bandits now, you know.
It does, bring up some interesting possible fights. The one I think they want to make most is Fedor versus Randy now.
Yeah.
After he fights the next fight in the UFC, he can cross over to Strikeforce and fight Fedor. And Lizard has to die.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that fight. I mean, who wouldn't?
It'd be interesting to have his son on the same card, because his son is in Strikeforce already.
Yeah, Randy's a legend, and, you know, he's a monster. He's like, what, 46 years old, 47 years old, and he's killing people still. You know, he's better than most 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds. You know, he's in better shape than anyone in the world, it seems like. You know, he's just a legend. No one could ever take that away from him.
Well, Horace Griffin says he's stealing his youth.
Yeah. He's huge.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck Liddell is a great fighter. I mean, there's so many great fighters. You know, I mean, St. Pierre. I mean,
you're big role models of the sport coming up and you know, outside the cage as well.
There's some good role models out there. I think, like, George St. Pierre is a great role model. Dominic Cruz is probably a great role model. That kid's a training machine, you know. Yeah, I don't see anyone. I don't even see how Faber's going to beat him. I mean, he's a monster,
yeah.
You know. But there's some good people out there.
What was Jose Aldo like him?
Who?
Jose Aldo.
Jose. Oh, yeah, he's a beast. I don't even know who could beat him in that division.
Mm-hmm.
He's walking through everybody.
Yeah, he gets banged. I guess he's still, I don't know how well he's going to come back. Mm-hmm. I guess he's been on the sidelines for that for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I heard.
He's going to have a hell of a...
I mean, look at Dominic Cruz. He's had a broken hand for I don't even know how long, and he keeps still fighting with that, you know?
Right.
I mean, he's a tough kid.
So, what's the local area this show is going to be in? L.A.?
Yeah, it's at the L.A. Sports Arena.
Yeah.
People can check out cageversuscons.com May 21st.
Okay.
You're going to want to definitely get your tickets and check it out. And then I'm fighting. I'm the main event. It's going to be an amazing show, that's for sure.
And tell us a little bit about some of the other guys on the card. Do you know anything about any of the other guys fighting that you could just kind of run down the list?
No, I know there's a few guys on the card. Joe Nicklaus, he's a good fighter. He's tough. He's fighting Jason Meaders, another tough guy. You know, they've been around for a while. Shane Crutchin, he's a military kid. He's tough. I mean, it's just a bunch of tough little guys on the card. I don't know much about who all's on the card. You know, this other kid, he's a military guy, Gonzo. He's extremely tough. He's a heavyweight. He was in the military. Really good, strong fighter. So I'm looking forward to seeing him fight, actually.
Nice. And what do you love most about fighting?
I love that there's no attitudes. You know, most of the fighters are cool. They don't have, you know, they don't have egos. When you're done fighting, you know, you shake hands and it's over. You know, you go out, hang out. You know, my fighter friends are the best friends I have. I hang out with them literally day and night. You know, I mean, besides my wife, I mean, I don't hang out with anyone else. You know,
well,
I love fighting. It's nice when you hit somebody and they put their hand up like, yeah, you got me a good one, you know?
Yeah. One of my favorite experiences recently in the last couple of years when I had my first sparring session back from, I've been on the shelf for like 8 years at least. And I used my jab and I popped the kid in the nose early enough to start a bloody nose in the first 30 seconds.
I mean, in boxing, when you hit someone, you know, they don't shake your hand or high five you, you know. But MMA, they do. You know, boxing is like a single sport, person sport. There's no team.
As long as it doesn't get hard, it'd be like Pat Barry and Grokop. You know, I didn't really like that too much. Thought they should have got a room.
Yeah. I mean, here at the arena gym, we have like 30 pro fighters here. You know.
Yeah. Training
yeah.
camp.
We have such good, yeah, we have good training here every single day. I mean, yeah, no, there's not, even our amateurs are good. We had 3 amateurs fight last week, all of them won, you know? So, I mean, everyone here is tough.
And so what is the MMA atmosphere like up there in California?
Huh?
What's the MMA?
We're in... The arena gym, we're in San Diego, California.
Yeah. And what's the training and you know, official fighting atmosphere like out there on the West Coast there in L.A. and San Diego?
What do you mean? How is it?
Yeah, what's the scene like for professional fighters and amateur fighters? Is it a pretty good
group? Well, our team fights constantly. We have 6 guys fighting next week. We have 4 on the card at Golden Acorn. We have 1 fighting in Mexico, 1 guy, Joe Duarte, fighting in Strikeforce. You know what I mean? We have guys fighting literally, seems like, every week. You know, I mean, we have, like, literally 30 guys on our team, if not more. You know, actually, we got another guy that's fighting in Canada, so that's 7 guys fighting next week. Yeah, which makes it hard, though, for our teams. We have to, it spreads us out, when, you know, when you have that many people fighting, you know, you have to send a few people everywhere.
Yeah. Wow. What's the most important thing you do to get ready for a fight?
I think conditioning is probably the most important thing for me right now. I do a lot of conditioning.
My
opponent's
flipping tires. What do you do specifically? Credit the most.
Flip tires, hit the tires. A lot of CrossFit, burpees, sprints, a lot of stuff in the sand. A lot of wearing a like a slingshot kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, pulling you back. A lot of resistance stuff. Rope climbing. You know, pulling ropes, pushing cars. I mean, whatever our coaches decide to give us.
Yeah, push cars.
Yeah.
And competitions.
Yeah, exactly. over at our gym, we have Alahara, who's also a coach on the Ultimate Fighter this year. He's our conditioning coach, also. I mean.
Do you ever have to do the fridge carry event?
No.
the world's strongest man, when they had that, it wasn't very long, it was like 3 years, but they had the fridge carry.
No, but I am pretty strong.
Yeah, so obviously I get that a lot. Do you do a lot of running? You know, mileage, or is it more just fast-paced sprints and like you said?
A little of both. 3 days a week I'll run, you know, 5 to 10 miles. And then a couple days a week I do sprints. I ride the bike every day to the gym. You know, I mean, it's not that far. It's 5 miles each way.
Cool.
You know, I'm swimming.
Swimming's a bit.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do all kinds of conditioning.
Here's a little tip, I don't know if you do it already, but Rocky Marciano used to swear by punching in the pool. Punching on the wall.
Well, I couldn't hear you, sorry.
Rocky Marciano used to do a
we stole it from Marciano, by the way.
Hello?
Yeah, Rocky Marciano used to do a routine where he punched underwater, and Muhammad Ali did the same thing. He's photographed.
Oh, yeah, I saw, like, BJ Penn, Rob Garcia, who's one of our coaches here, and he was having BJ Penn jumping out of the pools.
Yeah, I saw that on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, BJ's coach, Rob Garcia, he's one of our coaches here.
Yeah.
I don't do that, but... I see guys doing it. I can't do it.
This friend of Rocky,
I'm not that athletic.
Rocky used to go to this resort in New York to train all the time. Rocky Marciano. His best friend told us that he would get in the pool in the shallow end, and he would throw punches into water. We'd get to the point where he's standing, you know, a few feet away from the edge, and the water's going over the edge, just from his punching power. So, and he had one of the best records ever. Undefeated champion. So,
Yeah, exactly. You know, when people are winning, there's a reason. You know, they're doing something right.
So what's your ultimate goal with the sport of MMA?
You know, I really don't have a full goal. I mean, I just want to make a good enough name for myself to where I really don't have to worry about the money, and I can run my kids' program and not have to worry. But if I do all that for free, and I want to keep doing that for free. I don't want to charge these kids or their parents. You know, we want all that to be for free to get them off the streets and show them they can be whatever they want to be in life. So those are pretty much my goals when I'm done, or maybe even get into some kind of acting or something.
And now tell us a little bit more about the filming aspect of all this.
The which aspect?
The filming with the movie and Showtime is coming.
It's going to be in the movie theaters. It's a documentary on our lives, on a lot of the fighters' lives, on like Debo's life and Danny Trejo's life. Basically, like, the cameras are going to follow us around for a few weeks, you know, go through our lives, and we're going to make it into a documentary. It's filmed by Eric Tran, who's the producer of The Simpsons, and he did a documentary, I think it was on Matt Damon or somebody, and so that's going to be in the movie theaters, and then I think Showtime or HBO or one of those things.
As far as this fight coming up, do you have any predictions?
I can tell you it's not going to get out of the first round. that part I can guarantee. You know, but my predictions are he's probably going to go to sleep.
Oh, all right.
We'll see how. I'm just not sure how fast, but he's going to go to sleep. They're streaming it on the internet, I believe, and I think they're also going to try and stream it on Facebook, I believe.
Facebook is the way to go these days. I mean, it's exploding in popularity.
Yeah, exploding. Like today alone, I think my Facebook friends, when I got like 85 new friends today. I mean, you know, it's crazy.
And it's so web 2.0 friendly. Works on all the cell phones now. It's built into every website. They've really made a good name for themselves. MySpace.
Yeah. I don't even use my MySpace anymore. My sponsor, you know, I've gotten all through Facebook.
Everything you get on MySpace anymore is you're getting, like, friend invitations from, like, a band or, like, a movie. It's like, hi, this is the trailer for The Hangover 2 wants to be your friend. I'm like, oh, great. Not even a person. I want to be a friend of just, like, some, like, movie trailer or some band that I'm never going to see.
Yeah, right.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because, like, I used to be one of the big kings in the top 10, and now they're, like, last time I checked, they were, like, number 60 in the search engine rankings overall. Facebook
is
in the top 3.
Yeah, I don't even think I've been on my MySpace in 2 or 3 months. It's been so long.
Yeah. It's so obvious that they're trying to gank whatever they can from Facebook. You notice their style has totally changed. They're trying to copy everything that Facebook has that works.
I didn't have Facebook for the longest time, just MySpace, and then Evan Showman, the artist, he was like on me. He's like, you need to get Facebook. It's easier and it's better, and blah, blah, blah. Finally, I was like, okay, I gave in.
Yeah. The only thing I don't like Facebook is there's way too many restrictions. You know, like, you only have 5,000 friends on a personal account.
Yeah, that's a lot of friends, though. Then you can get a fan page, though.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah, 5,000. Man, that's a lot of friends. I think I'm like 3,500 somewhere in there.
I'm creeping up on 5 grand. I'm getting there. Full, early.
Wow, that's a lot.
I I think I'm getting to the point where people try to add me a lot, and then they get that message. This person has too many friends.
then you get the fan page, you know, and you can link. I guess you can link them both, and there you go.
Yeah, it's a lot of good things.
Then you get to, so.
So many different directions you can go. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
What I find is so good is just the immediate updates that you get. There's nothing that beats that. It's such a friendly interface. So easy to type into. It's like, you know, what makes Craigslist so well designed is it's simple. Such big links. It's everywhere. It's all over the world. People are
You don't have it's nice and simple. It's easy. You know, you don't have to update songs and backgrounds and all that junk.
Right.
You know, everything's the same, nice and easy. All right.
So, as far as getting ready for this next fight, what's the remaining schedule like up until May? What do you do to get to the finals?
My fight's not for a while. It's still 7 weeks away, so I mean, I'm just concentrating on my stand-up and conditioning. I mean, that's pretty much all I do every day. You know, very little bit of ground. You know, the one good thing about my opponent, he doesn't do the ground. He sucks on the ground, so I don't have to worry about the ground. You know, him and I are equal on the ground. I don't have to worry about it with him. I know he's going to stand with me, so it just makes it an easier fight for me.
And what do you see for the future of this organization? Have you got a plan for a next event already? Or still
I think, they're planning on a September show and then a December show maybe in Brazil.
Whoa.
So, I mean, they're gonna bring me and a few other guys to fight in Brazil in December.
Can I get a report of stipends for travel?
I hope so. Whatever, you know, the promoters are really good people. I mean, they're really good to me. I love them.
Have you ever fought in Brazil?
Have I? No, I have not. I'd like to though. I've never even been to Brazil. That'll be exciting for me.
Yeah.
You know. I'll have to bring the cyborgs with me to that one. So I don't get jumped on out there.
Times to be your personal buddy.
Yeah. Exactly.
You'll be the backup.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome.
It's gonna be awesome.
Yeah, Brazil needs a lot of help these days. Weather experience they've had over the last few months, mudslides and collapses.
Yeah.
Their economy because of these big shows. And the UFC's going down there pretty soon, aren't they, too? So Royce Gracie, he's on the card. You don't know who he's going to fight yet, though. That could be one of those novelty fights, like Randy Couture said he wanted.
Yeah, a Legends card. They've been doing a lot of those little cards like that in Australia or somewhere out here.
It's interesting you mentioned that because there was a guy that just fought on a UFC card who I first saw in Australia, an Australia card. And Chris Lido was the last big UFC event that was on pay-per-view that we saw. He's drawing a blank on his name. He was in one of the events down in Australia. And he was doing this move where he was leaning over and he would just punch a guy right in the thigh.
We have a guy here that likes to push you into the cage, and he's real tall, so he wraps his leg around you when you're standing, and he takes his heel and he kicks you in the thigh. Just because his legs are so long, so he can reach around, and he takes his heel and just whacks your thigh over and over again. And he just holds you into the cage. So, it really hurts.
Is it Charlie horse sometimes?
Yeah.
That's what this guy
said. It's like, man.
He didn't do it at all against Lytle.
Well, I mean, I'd rather fight for spelling fights, the company I'm fighting for, Cage versus Cons, over the UFC. I'd much rather fight for them any day of the week, you know. I mean, they treat me good. They're honest, you know. And I trust them. It's just funner, you know. I wouldn't give that up. You know, if the UFC called me today, I would just say no.
Nice. We like to hear that. You know, we're, of course, UFC followers and reporter. We report every now and then on results and stuff, but we don't have a complete blanket on our coverage at all. We do mostly that stuff. Boxing more than anything, unbelievably. So, boxing is dying. Yeah. We have about 90% of our reports are boxing these days. And the more that we can get out there about some of these other leagues that are kicking ass, quite literally, in more ways than one. You know,
there's a boxing promoter that works for Cage versus Cons. His name's Hervey Estrada, and he's pretty good too. And he puts on some events,
nice.
all boxing events. I think they're all in like LA or somewhere.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's going to be a pretty interesting landscape, and really without these younger and growing leagues, you don't have MMA. I mean, people tend to equate the UFC and MMA, and it sucks.
Exactly.
It's not true. The UFC doesn't even, with Strikeforce, have some of the best guys out there. Some of the best guys out there are either overseas or they're not negotiating with the UFC. They've got a good deal with another company, you know.
Yep, for sure.
So,
you know, for sure.
I think that's why they keep buying up these other leagues and hoping they can keep all the fighters. But politics just drives me nuts. I know where all their money comes from and how they made their billions. So it's kind of disturbing sometimes when you look at the big picture. But, you know, they've got to set the standard in some respects, too. They've got to step up to the plate and start paying these guys, you know, six-figure fights more often.
Exactly. You know, it takes a lot to be a fighter. I mean, the training is hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you literally have to train all day. You know, you can't just go running or just do one thing. You got boxing, jiu-jitsu, judo, you know, Muay Thai, wrestling. There's so many different things. It costs so much to train, plus the drive to these different gyms. You know, the nutrition it takes.
Yeah, that's why I couldn't get over. Even on a preliminary fight, the UFC was paying guys $3,000. Can you imagine that's your fighting purse? $3,000.
Yeah, I mean, you know, normally I make like $5,000, but, you know, to show up to a fight. Why would I want to fight in the UFC for three? You know, they promise you, you'll be famous. It's the UFC.
You got to put on a show.
I mean, who cares? Yeah, who cares? I got bills. You know, I got to pay my bills. We got kids to feed and everything else. You know, car payments, $3,000 every 6 months isn't going to cut it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
it's kind of interesting.
But then there's these other cards that only pay some of these guys $500. You know, I mean, it's a hard sport to get into. There's, you know,
sometimes
it's easy to get into. There's just no money.
Yeah, sometimes you got to fight for the love of it.
Exactly. You know,
you got to have a day job. You know, which is true of most people's successes these days. You got to have a day job.
Yeah. Well, look at Shane Carwin. He's an engineer for the longest time. You know,
yeah.
I think he still has a regular job. You know. So, he's a good role model right there. You know, that's a great role model.
Now, tell us a little bit about what was the most difficult part of your prison stint, and what was your life like before that that you changed from?
The beginning of my prison stint was hard. I still had an attitude. So I was fighting a lot. I was getting in trouble. You know, the first 2 years, you know, I was getting in a lot of fights, mostly with the skinheads because I didn't believe in the stuff they believed in.
Right.
So, you know, so.
So they were pretty.
Mostly I was.
In every prison, huh? Seems like.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I got in a lot of fights with them. Yes. That lasted for about 2 years, and then it became nice. It became easy.
That's interesting.
But I'm not trying to go back to prison. I'm not trying to go to jail. Any punk can go to jail, you know? So it takes some. Being a real man is outside here, living life, working, supporting your family, you know? That's what it's. Being a real man is to me.
We're talking to Ken Shamrock. We know he's a very supportive guy. He's very into space, too. What's that been like? Because was it relying on a legend like that to give you advice? You know, get started. Yeah.
Well, Ken used to be like, you're better than that. I mean, you're a pro fighter. You know, you need to know in your heart you could win. You have nothing to prove. I mean, you need to work with kids. You're good with kids. He just wanted me to constantly help other people, you know, constantly teaching me to give back instead of taking from life. You know, not enough people give back these days, you know. He did stuff with, like, the Boys and Girls programs, you know, donating time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what life's about, bringing unity to the community, you know.
Whoa. Is that somebody's slogan?
Huh?
Is that your slogan?
That's my slogan. That's mine and KJ's slogan for our kids program. For we bring in unity to the community.
All right. That's catchy.
Catchy, huh? It's good.
Be careful. Might be somebody else's already. Sounds too catchy.
Yeah.
No, but it's definitely a great time that you get some very interesting stories. Are you going to write a book at some point? You know, just need a ghostwriter. I'm here.
Ghostwriter. You know, maybe someone will write a movie about me, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, eventually,
you know, we'll see what the
course is and figure out how to do that screenwriting. You know, I'm out in Vegas now, so I'm close enough to L.A. where I could, you know, make a trip.
I've been hit up a lot about people wanting to do documentaries on my life. So, I mean, I think it's getting to be about that time, I think, that I might want to do that.
If you think about it, there hasn't been any good MMA movie, modern day. I mean, think about the junk that they've thrown at us, like, it's never back down bullshit. You know, there hasn't been a good, based on a true story, MMA movie out there. You know,
exactly.
If I could brush up on my script writing skills, you know, I think your story would carry over really well to the theaters, you know. Not just a documentary, because you have to be like Michael Moore or powerful to get a documentary play well in America, you know.
Yeah.
Fortunately.
If you have the right producers doing it, I think it could be done right, you know. And I think my story's pretty powerful, you know, from start to finish, you know. I think the only thing that would finish it good is for me to win some kind of major title. Won't happen. Which won't happen since I don't want to fight in the UFC. I have no urge to fight for them.
There's other places you can get titles at. There's other places you can get titles at.
Yeah.
And if you become undisputed, you can get another tattoo.
Exactly. I have to start lasering them off to get more room.
Oh. So how many do you have? Could you estimate? Full body thing, or is it like one?
Yeah, my full body, pretty much. My wife tells me I basically have skin boxers. You know, that's about it. You know, even that I want covered. I'm even thinking about doing my eyes. I want to do the whites of my eyes real bad.
Okay.
So
your opponents won't even know when you're blinking. Is that what you're talking about?
With what? I want to shoot
when you're blinking.
Exactly. Well, I want to shoot either black or green into the whites of my eyes. I was thinking about red, but the red would make me look like I have pink eye.
Uh-oh.
so I didn't want to do that.
Really,
so, I saw it on a prison show, and I really liked it.
Okay.
So I was like, wow.
But when did you actually get most of your tattoos? While you're in prison or when you're outside prison?
No, I didn't get any in prison. I got them all pretty much before.
All before?
Yeah. A few after I got out, but inside I didn't get any.
So you must have been notorious, you know, walking around with all that body art in town.
I just have a addiction problem.
Yeah, well, that's, you gotta be careful with that stuff, you know. Anytime you have a surgical or somewhat type of invasive procedure, always gotta worry about infection. You know, they give you that oil to rub on that shit, you know. But
My problem is I love pain, and that's a problem.
Yes, to some extent, but you're in the right field for that. You're in the fighting game. That's what's important. So, all of us are born.
Oh, yeah.
We have no way to channel it. You think about all these.
Oh, my teammates get so mad at me because I'll just stand there and let them hit me in the face over and over again. I just stand there. Because they're like, man, stop doing that. I'm like, why? It just drives them nuts that I do that. You know, it's, to me, it's funny. You know, I'm laughing the whole time they're hitting me in the face.
Right.
So, except when maybe Cyborg does it because he kicks me in the face and that doesn't feel too good.
Oh, that's not nice. It's what he tells him.
Yeah.
It's not fair.
Yeah. Cyborg kicks hard.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Every time he kicks me in the head, I almost get a little woozy. I'm like, oh, we'll time out for a second.
Can you imagine what it's like when he gets in a fight with his wife?
Oh, I watched them spar, and they go at it.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, yeah, he's not gentle to her. No. That's why she's so good. You know, I mean, she trains hard. They literally go at it. I mean, everyone in here beats the crap out of her, you know? That's why she's so good. I mean,
yeah.
I think she can fight in the guys' division and probably beat a lot of the guys.
Whoa, that's tough talk.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen it in action.
Yeah.
Actually, when I was in high school, we had one of the first women to ever wrestle in varsity in a wrestling league in Quincy, Massachusetts. And she was big-haired and determined, and she went through all these years that I was on the team and stuck it out. You know, and I hardly had to wrestle her because I was way above her weight class, but... every time she was a scrambler. And she left,
yeah.
She left wrestling for Harvard. You know, I'll never forget the first day she had to fight a guy. And, there was people around. And it was after the main events and all had been done and over with. And here she is wrestling. I think it was a JV match against this kid that was like a notorious slacker at practice, from what I remember. And she smoked him. It was embarrassing because all of us were watching too. We were just getting ready to get back on the bus, and there she is, first match, first kill. So, if you underestimate a woman, you know, it's ability to pick up the slack, figure things out.
The first time I sparred with her, I was like, okay, you know, I'm just going to go easy. And I learned the hard way that you got to hit her back or she'll take advantage. So. You got to treat her like she's anyone else, because if not, she's going to try and put you to sleep.
Oh.
You know? Yeah,
she's
really, really good. She's tough. You know? But they're the nicest people, her and her husband. I mean, so nice. And, like, Evangelista takes so much time out of his training to help guys that are just beginning. You know? I mean, yeah, they're, like, the nicest people.
They say nice things while they're tripping you out.
Yeah. Well, when I make mistakes, he'll kick me and let me know. You know, he lets me know when I'm making mistakes.
That's what a good coach does.
So
what's that like, you know, being around so many luminaries of the sport, I guess you could say, in one little pack?
Sure.
Ability to pick things up on the fly?
I don't know. They're all good people. They're all they don't have any attitudes. The ones I know, you know. So I mean, they're just like regular people. They just want to be treated like regular people, and you know.
No attitude. It's interesting. That's a common theme you raised tonight.
Yeah. I mean,
you haven't really talked about.
They're just all good people.
No attitudes. Is there no attitude fight gear out there?
Yeah, it's nice being around people with no egos, you know.
Yeah.
You know, they know when they're better than people, and they don't try and hurt you. You know, they try to help you and help you get better, no matter what level you're at. You know, I mean, we get guys that come in that's their first day to train, and like I see Cyborg spend pretty much the whole class working with them, you know, trying to help them, make sure they're doing things right. You know, I mean, and if he's walking around, you know, and sees someone doing something wrong, then, you know, they'll walk over and help him out instead of not saying a word, you know?
Yeah, well, hey, dude, you suck. You need to work on your game. Sure.
I mean, it's...
Elbow a little. Good. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, they're real humble, nice people.
Yeah.
You know, it's just nice being around that.
I used to have a boss who had a philosophy where he literally told us one day, he said, you manage people with fear. And we had some run-ins, him and I actually had an MMA match with him in a storage area one day that was unplanned and unsanctioned. Didn't quite work out for me that way. But back in the day. But anyway, we're getting pretty long into this interview, but I definitely appreciate talking to you. I want to give you an opportunity to give anybody a shout-out. You got anybody out there you want to thank or give a shout-out to?
I'd like to maybe thank my sponsors, you know, Newport Coast Auto, Audrey's Plumbing, the Arena Gym, all my teammates, my training partners, you know, my wife for sticking through with me, you know, through all these weight-cutting days and, I guess, in Cage versus Cons, you know, for giving me this opportunity. You know, I just hope everyone can make it out to that event. It's going to be definitely an event to remember.
Don't forget to thank the Academy Awards for the consideration of the nomination in the future.
There you, there you go. Maybe I'll get into a movie or two.
Yeah, sounds like the right stuff in that area, your character for sure. And, you know, one thing we used to say in military school is, what doesn't kill you only makes you stronger.
There you go.
All right. Life. And we'll keep in touch, and we'll be watching. Oh,
great. Thank you for having me. You guys have a good one.
You too.
All right. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Bo.
You're welcome. Tony, ask a question.
Yeah.
Sorry, kind of hard to figure you were just throw back there. But let's see, we do have a few more boxing matches I want to mention before we close up our track here. Page three to results over here.
Sure.
I haven't done the mismatch of the week yet. There's a few candidates, but they're not as bad as they usually are. We're going to go down to Arena Mexico City. For a flyweight, WBC International flyweight title on the line between Edgar Sosa at flyweight and Kenichi Horikawa. Edgar is 41-6 with 24 knockouts, and Horikawa is 29 with 4 knockouts and 1 draw. And we have the WBC silver featherweight title between Alberto Garza, 23-4 with 18 knockouts and 1 draw, and Robinson Castellanos. 10-9, 6 knockouts. And a big one on United States Integrated Sports Media. Do you get that channel, Terry?
I don't think so.
It's Baja, California. We have a light flyweight main event between Giovanni Segura, 26-1 with 22 knockouts, fighting Ivan Calderon, who's 34-1 with 6 knockouts, 1 draw. And also for the vacant IBF Latino featherweight title is on the line in this card between Ricardo Castillo, 39-9 with 26 knockouts, one draw, and Jackson Hernandez, who's 21-3 with 14 knockouts. And then we have another couple of interesting fights. First one's a featherweight 12-rounder between Fernando Beltran Jr., who's 35-4 with 19 knockouts, one draw, fighting Jorge La Sierva, who's 38-7 with 6 draws, 26 knockouts. Finally, Ramon Moss, 24-0, 15 knockouts, fighting Enrique Bernash, who's 15-2 with 7 knockouts. Here in Baja, California. That's the best card in the area. And also Saturday, Panama City, Panama, we have a 12-round flyweight fight between Luis Concepcion, 22-1 with 17 knockouts, and Herman Marquez, 29-2 with 22 knockouts. And we have a WBA female super bantamweight title, Lisa Brown, 18-4 with three draws, 5 knockouts, fighting Chantal Martinez, who's 12-4 with 5 knockouts. And if that wasn't enough, we have a 9-rounder heavyweights. Johan Duhalpas, 25-1, 14 knockouts, fighting Saul Farah, who's 30-14, 2 draws, 24 knockouts. For the WBO Federal Heavyweight Title, I never heard of that one. The WBC Latino Heavyweight Title from Panama. So, Battle Canal. We got a match in Poland. WBC Cruiserweight title. Krzysztof Wlodarczyk. 44-2 at Cruiserweight. 32 knockouts, one draw. Fighting Francisco Palacios, who's undefeated, 20-0 with 13 knockouts. For the WBC Cruiserweight title. From, don't even make me pronounce it, Poland. We get another Cruiserweight fight. 10-rounder. Lucas Janik, 21-1 with 12 knockouts, fighting Christian Dolzanelli, who's 16-2 with 10 knockouts. We get some other Christophs and Skis and Jonax. All kinds of people. Good card over there in Poland. We're going to get you front row seats, Tony.
Should do it. Nice. I'll be there.
Yeah, go to a Polish fight. Oh. Let's see what else we got here. Yeah, the Friday night fights are interesting out here in Vegas. The next time it's going to be even better, though, because they're going to do it outdoors on the pool deck at the Cosmopolitan. By the way, on April 29th, which should be like the heat of summer in Vegas. Right now, we're kind of in the winter out here, even though it's like 70 degrees every day. Still in the winter. Yeah, the leaves haven't quite sprouted yet. Now we're cracking towards spring. So it's pretty interesting. See, it's so hot. And there's palm trees, but other trees don't have leaves. Something that's tough to get used to. But also on Saturday, April 2nd, at Bally's in Atlantic City, there's a super middleweight fight between Farah Ennis and Alexander Johnson, both undefeated. Do you know about this one? Were we talking about this earlier?
Oh, I know Farah Ennis. I know his. I've seen his brother, Derek Ennis, fight several times. Derek Ennis is coming off a pretty shocking loss. Farah is a good young fighter. He's undefeated. And we got to see how when he steps up in competition.
Well, there's also a pretty interesting card down on down at the Aviator Sports Complex in Brooklyn, New York, this Saturday. Light heavyweight Elvir Mariki, 38-5 with 23 knockouts, is fighting the ever fearless player to be named later, I guess. Gottschalk. I think we have a blog about his opponent. Apparently Gottschalk hasn't come. But an interesting co-main event, I guess you could call it. Danielle Livingston, who's 2-0, two knockouts, former guest on the show, is fighting Greg Hackett, who's 2-6, and knocked out once. But Danielle, if you remember correctly, I suggested the nickname, All Skill.
Oh, he gave his nickname, All Skill.
I don't know if he uses that officially. But also an interesting guy in the car that I interviewed way back when we were just on MySpace pages I was talking about earlier, Tommy Rayone, who's 13-4 with four knockouts.
I've covered some of his fights.
Yeah, he's fighting Arthur Medina, who's 14-22, five knockouts. But Danielle, I don't see anything registered on his Boxrec page yet. There's a big story over at BoxRec. I don't know if they set that up as a name thing, but there's a big fat picture of James Toney. Literally, big fat picture of James Toney.
I just saw that actually.
And there's an article there about his past 42 fighting, I guess. How old is James Toney? He's 42? Is that what it said?
Yeah, he's around that. He's in his early 40s.
There it is. And they referenced George Foreman, some of the better fighters that came back at his age. 42-year-old James Toney recently scraped a 10-round decision win over Kansas journeyman Damon Reed. And after almost 2 years out of the ring, not out of the cage. So, they're talking about he should retire. He's not like the old guys. That's the old guys. George Foreman. Who's particularly mentioned over and over again. Ray Robinson, Archie Moore, Fitzsimmons, Foreman, Holyfield, Hopkins, and Glenn Johnson. But Mr. Rainman, this is a big one for you. Who, according to this article, anyway, is the oldest active heavyweight?
The oldest active heavyweight?
Yes.
Okay, well, let me think, because we had somebody recently come out and fight. And I'm trying to remember. It was something. Well, we had Burt Cooper, but it's not him. Burt Cooper's in the ground like 45-ish. I don't think Ray Mercer's fighting anymore. It's going to be something ridiculous, like some fighter over in England that's like 65 years old and had a fight last week or something.
According to this article, we know that the internet is always right. But that's not
we know what's always right?
The internet is not always right.
Of course not. Oldest active heavyweight fighter. You got a van. I know it's not the answer because it's going to be like some two-name nobody that nobody's ever heard of. But I'm going to say, what the hell, 48-year-old Evander Holyfield.
Oh, no. This guy comes from the United Kingdom.
Told you somebody from England.
And his birth date was 1967, January 23rd. His age is 44. His name is Matt Skelton. This is according to a BoxRec article.
Whoa. But if he's 44, he can't be the oldest active heavyweight.
That's what it says. That's what the article says about fat.
Well, the article, is it the oldest active English heavyweight, maybe? Because Holyfield's older than that, and Holyfield's like 48.
Well, you're saying Boxrec is wrong?
Yes, I am saying that. Because Holyfield is obviously still active. He fought just a few months ago, and he's got that fight set up with Brian Nielsen from Denmark, who's like 47 years old, too.
He's the oldest on the British team, sorry.
That's okay.
I I wanted. Rain Man is undefeated. Still.
Thank you.
He's got a tie. we also have some pretty interesting MMA fights coming up, I do want to mention. Strikeforce Challengers 15 is not an April Fool's joke. It's happening tomorrow in Stockton, California. If you're in that area, you might want to be there. Get tickets. We have Justin Wilcox versus Rodrigo Dam. Lorenz Larkin versus Scott Lighty. Carlos Fodor versus David Douglas. Josh Thornburg versus James Terry. Damian Douglas versus Wayne Phillips. Rafael Rios versus Anthony Fabila. Robert Escalante versus Raul Sandoval. And we have two more. Tristan Vinal versus Tom Peterson. And Adam Antoline versus Ronald Carrillo. And, of course, Bellator Fighting Championships back doing their regular thing on April 2nd from Ocean Sun in Uncasville, Connecticut. The Bellator Lightweight Championship is going on. Eddie Alvarez versus Pat Curran. And the welterweight tournament semifinal between Armin Good and Rick Hahn. And the lightweight tournament semifinal between Toby Mata and Patrick E. Freery. Also, Ben Saunders versus Matt Lee. Dave Jansen versus Scott McAfee. Greg Ribello, who I've seen fight in person, actually, in Massachusetts, is fighting Dan Kramer. Mike Winters versus Ryan Quinn. Matt Beach versus Renee Nazaire. John Lawson versus Blair Tubman. There you go. And, of course, we have the big UFC event coming up at the end of the month, April 30th, which we'll probably talk about much later. But, oh, geez, how many UFCs is it now? Do you know, Tony? Are you aware? 129 at the Rogers Center in Toronto, Ontario. St. Pierre versus Shields is the main event, which is plenty to talk about when the time is right. But other than what we've already talked about, and a great interview with our guest there, Cage versus Cons guy, Rick Slayton, there's been a couple interesting stories going around. One thing I didn't talk about over the last couple of weeks, but I wanted to mention the one-legged wrestler who went 36-0. You didn't mention him today.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to mention something that I said about a week or two ago, and I forgot. But when I was talking to my dad, about it, I said, I mean, obviously he's coming in there with a tremendous disadvantage. But the way I said it to my dad, I said, actually, in a way, it could be an advantage. My dad goes, well, what are you talking about? I said, well, two things. I said, number one, hard to do a double leg takedown on the guy. You know, and I'm not saying that as a joke either. I'm saying that as being dead serious. Hard to do a double leg takedown. The other thing is, okay, Rich, you wrestled for a while. You also boxed. I boxed. And making weight was never easy. Now, imagine you're wrestling, okay? And, okay, when you wrestled, Rich, what weight did you wrestle at? 165?
171 for my glory year there as a varsity.
171, okay.
I only weighed 155 to 160 most times. So
okay.
I had to make weight.
Okay, so imagine this. So you were usually fighting guys that were a lot more physically imposing than you were. They were bigger than you.
Okay.
You take a look
In my first year, I did JV. I went either first or second year, I think, I won the JV state championship. So I did have to make weight for that fight, but it wasn't hard. I did more sucking weight than boxing than anything.
Look at this. Okay, take a guy. He won the 125-pound weight class?
Yeah.
Imagine if he had a full right leg. How much would that leg have weighed?
maybe 20-some pounds. So actually, he's like 145 or 150-pounder in there. Like, look at the size of his chest. Look at the definition and the physical, you know, imposingness of his upper body. So basically, he is like a guy that should be 145, 150 pounds, if not more, wrestling guys that are 125. By not having that leg, he basically is just cutting out 20 pounds of his weight, if not more.
Mm-hmm. And he had a perfect record, 36-7 this year. I'm pretty sure he's all done after this. This was last year. 125 pounds. 36-0, and he wins the championship in a tight match. Incredible story. Another story making the rounds is your favorite guy, the guy you love to talk about. He's your favorite baseball player of all time, Jose Canseco.
Right? Yeah.
Love that guy. He's a celebrity boxing joke, I guess you could say these days. Because he sent his twin brother, Ozzy, to fight for him. And a event Damon Feldman is doing, or did. And the fans noticed the difference in the tattoos, and Ozzy was not responding very well to our calls with Jose. And Jose is now claiming in broken English that it was not set up for him to be there personally. It was always planned to have Ozzy show up. So now they're at each other's throats. And, Damon has a very troubling history because he just got off. Sort of a slap on the wrist with this case. And I think your neck of the woods, Philadelphia. And so he got into some trouble with for staging fights. And just barely escaped some major trouble there. So now he's fully fraught in this very next big event that makes the news. Doesn't look good for him. So keep your eye on that story. That's kind of brewing out there in the boxing links. Also, I didn't get to see it, but The Ultimate Fighter just started last night. And there's some questions and answer sessions that I did see between Junior Dos Santos and Brock Lesnar, who were the coaches on this year's show. And Brock Lesnar said he probably wouldn't do it again. That was kind of interesting quote that's been put out there. We'll probably wouldn't do it again. But he had fun. It was interesting learning from these guys. And he said there really wasn't any, like, major surprises. You either had skill and you won or you didn't. It's a pretty straightforward year on The Ultimate Fighter, according to him. So, I don't know. Happens. I heard this one might not be one where they had to fight their way into the house. So maybe that took a little edge off of it. I don't know. I'll tell you more when I see it. And by the time I get the show on next week, I'll have seen it twice, the first two episodes. So I'll have more on that. The jury's still out. We'll talk about that later. What do you think about this guy from the Baltimore Ravens here hogging up all the boxing week?
Oh, Tommy Zbigniewski, you know what, hey, right now he's a young guy. I mean, I know he had his first pro fight before he went into professional football, before he was drafted. He's still in Notre Dame. I mean, hey, right now there's a lot of uncertainty in the NFL. And if, Chad Ochocinco can play Major League Soccer, why can't this guy, you know, have a few fights? I don't think he'll ever be a contender or a world champion. I'm sure once football resumes, hopefully it will sooner than later, he'll go and he'll make his mark as a standout athlete, safety for the Baltimore Ravens. But I wish him the very best.
But what I missed, Chad Ochocinco is playing professional soccer now, huh?
Yes.
Did not know this.
Oh, yes.
Story. I want to launch on that.
Oh, it's true.
I do know about what's going on with the rebels, though, over in Libya. Have you heard that story? It's kind of a funny story about fighting.
I did not hear it.
It's not really funny. Ha ha, funny. Funny as in strange, weird, funny. The rebels over there Gaddafi land, they stole a bunch of weapons, I heard, from Gaddafi's guys, you know. Now that they got these weapons, you know, you think they have an advantage, but they don't even know how to fucking use them. That's the And it seems like both sides are running civilian vehicles around town, you know. And, sounds like a big freaking mess. And, you know, we're not really fighting as unlimited as far as fighting overseas. I read that story and I just couldn't help but say, Jesus, it's a screwed up situation. We got ourselves in over there. Now the CIA is going to have to bring weapons in and soldiers to train these people on how to use them. Because it's obviously not that simple now, where it's point and click. sort of a weird situation over there. Didn't think Obama was going to be much of a fighting president, but it's like hell's gone on a handbasket over there pretty quickly.
Yeah, I don't know how criticism of Bush is too. It's like, you know, when Bush went to war in Iraq, he was like the worst guy in the world. Everybody was against him. Now that Obama's doing something similar, it's like he's adorning himself as a white knight.
Yeah, right? Freaking Donald Trump, too, throwing his hat in the ring. That's pretty interesting.
Maybe I love Donald Trump.
If I had Barack, that's what the commercial's going to be like. If I had. He's got the media eaten out of his hand, you know. Someone did a story on him the other day that I saw. It was like a video report. And they said that, you know, Donald Trump is famous for this type of stuff. He gets in these, like, smash mouth public fights, and he goes to all these talk shows, and he gets in somebody's face about something. So he's getting in Barack Obama's face about his birth certificate. You know, you weren't born in Hawaii. So then he got in a little thing with his pants down because he provided his own birth certificate, like he could get it at any time. And it wasn't even the right version of his birth certificate that was certified. It was from the hospital. Back and find his real one. So sometimes you rush to judgment when you do that type of stuff, and you shoot from the hip and it catches up with you. But he did kind of find his real one. But supposedly, Barack's first has been online forever. Anybody can see it. I saw it looking like a copy, so I don't even know what the hell that's all about. It doesn't really bother me that much. What bothers me is what he's actually doing. Never mind, you know, whether he should have been president or not. Like, what are they doing right now? That's what we should be thinking about. I don't know. Since the nature of my work is investigative reporting so much, you know, I watch a lot of that Jesse Ventura conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
I'd love to get Jesse on the show at some point.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Did you know he sued in the Homeland Security and the airline folks for vicious pat-downs? Yeah, that was the last I heard. I guess that's why he doesn't do the conspiracy theory show anymore. I don't have that confirmed, but that's the theory. The conspiracy theory on conspiracy theory, as they say. Because when he traveled, they did him vicious pat-downs, and, you know, he doesn't like it. It's not fun. So he's got to travel a lot for that show. And, you know, he's got to win that lawsuit so he gets fucked with anymore. And he exposes some deep stuff, you know, deep shit, as they say. And they're all very important issues. There's, like, secret societies, 9/11, every conspiracy you could think of. It's just interesting shit. But, you know, just like the internet, not all of it's true, of course. That's why they get away with it, because it's called theory.
Theory.
I'm looking forward to it. If they do another season, I'll watch it. It's a good show.
I'll watch anything.
Yeah, but other than that, if you want to go check out the rest of the MMA fights, hit up SureDog.com and the normal fights tab. There's probably 40 different fights this weekend. I'm going to post some posters on the internet pay-per-view fights that you can order through Go Fight Live. Probably in the early morning hours tomorrow, being Friday, which would be early afternoon Friday, East Coast, where you are, Tony.
Living the life of luxury out here in
Las Vegas. I think I'm going to be in town for a while, so hopefully we'll have more ringside fight coverage and Fight News Unlimited. Start living up to our name a little bit. And I'm tweaking the advertising and everything, trying to make a little more money. So click on our ads, help us get paid, just check everything out.
Have you got a chance, doing YouTube and watch the confrontation between Bernard Hopkins and John Pascal at the press conference last week? Pascal was, insinuating that Hopkins is a steroid user, and he, was holding his belt out in front of him, and, he was just being obnoxious, and Hopkins gave him good shove. And, I saw the way Pascal acted in that last fight, and he was a beaten fighter. He was beaten. He showed no confidence, when it was over, and he was, sitting there saying, "Oh, I won the fight. We give him a rematch anytime. Next fight? Well, I don't know about that," and you could tell he knew he was beaten, and now he's trying to either pump himself up or get in Hopkins' head. Well, I don't think you're going to get in Hopkins' head. Hopkins is already in your head. And, the only thing I think could possibly save Pascal's title is once again the judges. I mean, I think, it's either the judges or Hopkins just, finally showing himself to be a 46-year-old man. But for skill-wise, strategy, executing strategy, you got to give it to Bernard.
Well, actually, Pascal has come out and said that he must have been on something in the last fight.
Oh, yeah, come on. Why, because he got his ass whipped?
No, I mean, it's just the pre-fight hype bullshit, obviously.
He's saying that because he got his ass whipped.
Well, you should know. I don't think I'd watch the whole fight. I'd watch snippets, maybe. But, probably won't. I did. He didn't watch the whole thing. But you being a Philadelphia guy, I would think that you watched the whole thing several times, right?
Yes, I did. Actually, I only watched it. I watched it one time because I was so pissed off at the bullshit decision that I couldn't sit there and stand and watch it again.
Yeah, that's kind of how I felt about Arislan Di Lara getting the draw. Jose Molina, he got tuned up a little bit in the face towards the end of the fight, but he was winning from the body up through the rest of the whole fight. Through the last few rounds. And I thought he won most of the rounds. It's kind of unfortunate when you see that, there's a little hometown cooking involved. That corrupts part of the sport, but this sucks. But it's like Dana White says, unfortunately, we have to quote Dana White, never let it go to the hands of the judges.
Is that the truth? I know that's the only, by the way. All right, well, we're running out of time, and I got to get off.
Hey, go do something, will you?
Yeah, I'm going to try. Well, I applied to 4 jobs tonight during my tenure online, so I don't think I did a bad job while doing an interview.
Multitasking. That's right.
Good. Good training. That's just a calling card. Until next week, this is the Tornado. I'm out. And I'll see you later.
Adios, amigos. Until next week. Get up. You got to keep on walking on the road to Zion.